and requests, who transmitted its orders to the farthest reaches of its dominions. Servants washed and dressed the Shah, maintained the vast computer network to which its nerves had been connected, and brought choice foods to cater to its diminished appetite. Though it was never alone, not for an instant, nevertheless the Shah was tormented by the bitter pangs of loneliness. There was no one left to understand, no one with whom to share its memories of glory. Memories of those early days were undiminished. The Shah remembered with brilliant clarity the fever that burned among its peers, the urge to bend all others, to bend the universe itself to the perfect truth of the praxis. It remembered the splendor of the early victories, how the primitive Naxids had been turned to the service of the Shah, how others had then fallen, the Terrans, the Torminel, the Lyones, and others. Yet with each conquest had come diminished expectation, a slight reduction of the fever that burned in the Shah. Each race first had to be raised to the knowledge of their duty, cultivated with exquisite care like trees raised from seedlings, trees whose limbs had to be tied and twisted and shaped so they would achieve perfection and union with the praxis. And, like trees, the servitor races had to be pruned with bullets and whips and skinning knives, with the great annihilating fire of antimatter bombs, with the slow wasting of radiation, and the slower, inexorable decline of starvation. The labor had been immense, the burden enormous, and the results uncertain. If only the Shah had more time, if they had only had a few more thousand years in which to cultivate their garden of perfection, anticipation of victory could die in the certainty that its glorious task would be fulfilled. But the Shah hadn't had the time they needed. The oldest succumbed first, their memories fading, not the old memories, which remained clear, but the newer memories, which, unable to displace the old, failed to find a place in their minds. The Shah became unable to remember the flourishing of their own dream. They lost not the past, but the present. They sought artificial aids, massive computer memories that could be linked to their own nervous systems and record their own lives in exquisite detail. But in time, accessing these memories grew wearisome, and eventually a painful burden no longer worth the effort. So, one by one, the great constellation of the Shah began to wink out. The Shah did not fear to inflict death, nor did they fear death themselves. Sad in the knowledge that they had become a burden on their own dream, they chose their own deaths, and when they died with ceremony. And now, anticipation of victory lay on its couch, among the great machines through which it searched for his memories, and it knew that soon the time would come to lay down its responsibilities. It had done its best to guide the younger races along the proper paths. In its time, it had awarded both great riches and terrible punishments. It had created a system by which the praxis could be maintained after its death and hold the empire stable. Its greatest hope was that after its death, nothing would change. Nothing at all. Or ever. 1. Of course, following the great master's death, I will kill myself. Lieutenant Gareth Martinez, keeping pace alongside the longer-legged fleet commander Enderby, felt himself stumble as he heard the words. My lord? He drove his legs through the stumble to stride once more off Enderby's left shoulder. Their heels rang again in unison on the shaved, glittering asteroid material that floored the commandery. I've volunteered, Enderby said in his prosaic, literal tone. My family needs a representative on the pyre, and I'm the most suitable candidate. I'm at the apex of my career. My children are well established, and my wife has given me a divorce. He looked at Martinez from beneath his level white brows. My death will assure that my name and my family's name will be honored forever and help everyone.